Go ahead and call the meeting to order at 10 o'clock here. Please all rise and Mr. Vasquez, if you can raise in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Chief, yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Chief. Opening comments from board members before we proceed? Any comments, thoughts? I'll go to roll call then.
Thanks, sir. Sheriff Daniels is in the room. Commander Figueroa, we can see you, or we could see you a minute ago. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank you. Mr. Johnson's in the room. Ms. Kelly's in the room. Deputy Director Porfiri's in the room. Professor Robinson in the room. Colonel Silbert in the room. Chief Vasquez in the room. Ms. Weiss, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Good morning. And Chief Williams in the room. We have 100% attendance, and we have a quorum, sir.
That's a good percentage there today. Good. If you want to move right into presentations, introductions, announcements, and to your report.
Absolutely, sir. Just to Monique Cody, I'll continue to announce her every month, but she's going to be your ongoing independent advisor for final action cases. I keep talking to you about personnel changes, and I keep telling you all the things we're doing and the more work we're doing, and just continuing to add some personnel to make sure we can do that efficiently. So I don't know if he's in the room, but we added a gentleman by the name of Brian Coppins. He's an IT administrator. He's going to be working with Dan Wilson on his team and just, again, increasing our technology. I've talked about leveraging technology. We continue to do that. We have a lot of projects we'd like to accomplish, and Dan, although he's very talented, is a one-man show, and now we brought Brian on board to help him with that. So we should be able to exponentially increase our ability to leverage technology. So we're excited about that. And again, I always want to thank DPS. As you know, they do all of our hiring. They help us with that, and they've been incredible partners in getting people onboarded to Arizona Post. Also, again, in that same vein, things we've done over the last year, our public records requests over the last 3 years have gone up 5 times. So we went from about 200 a year to now we're well over 1,000 a year. We're on pace to do that again this year. Incredibly labor intensive. Leslie and Sean Donegan do a great job. As you know, our building is old. There's been a lot of maintenance. You've seen some of the things we've done. So just in an effort to make that streamlined, to give us the ability to strategically plan improvements to the building, improving our public records processing, our policy making, our rule making, I've decided to elevate Sean Donegan. I don't think he's in the room. I don't see him. But he runs the facilities now. He does all the public records. We're elevating him to we had a vacant program manager position. He's going to continue to work with Leslie. I envision in the future we'll bring on additional staff because, again, that is becoming so important that I want someone to really be able to focus on that on a high level. So I'm happy for Sean. I think he's going to do great things. And with that, Sheriff, that ends my announcements. If you'd like, I can go right into my executive director
sure.
report.
That'd be good.
If anyone has any questions. Again, I always like to let you know what I'm doing. I attended the ACOP January meeting a couple weeks ago in Mesa. I gave an update on all the things we're doing. I got some really good feedback from the chiefs that were there. Next week, I'll attend the sheriff's meeting and do the same thing and represent the board. I talked about this several months ago. I was appointed as the Western Region Representative for IATALIS, so I'm part of the executive committee. They do a couple meetings a year. This last weekend, in conjunction with the National Sheriff's Association, they held their meeting. So I was back in Washington, D.C. for a couple days and represented the Western region there. And it's really valuable for me to go and talk to my peers from around the country and see what they're doing, because we're not reinventing the wheel. We're all having the same challenges from virtual academy. How do we do that? How do we embed more scenario-based training in the academies to advance officer training and minimum qualifications for peace officers? So those interactions for me are very important, and I really enjoy being able to represent all the Western states when I do that. So thank you for your support and my endeavors there. A couple other things. Academy Directors Meeting. Lori Waite and her team have been doing amazing things. I've talked to you about we're now going out and doing academy inspections. So they're actually already doing those around the state. But we had an Academy Directors Meeting last month, and during that they started talking about curriculum development, what the academy looks like, and as you know, we increased the hours last year from 585 to 663. and that was well received. We're giving them valuable training. But as part of that meeting, the academy directors are talking about scenario-based training. Our young men and women come into profession, they learn through scenario-based training, real-life experience. So they start talking about this, and I can't take any credit for it. It was all Lori and her team. But what they decided was, you know what? Last year when Mandy did the JTA and looked at all of our curriculum and when she updated 44 of the 88 lesson plans, it was all to make it relevant, make it all current. What we didn't do, because it's a much deeper dive, is do we need 8 hours of hazardous materials? Do we need 6 hours of this? So that's what Lori and her team are going to do. They are going to go through every single lesson plan. They solicited feedback and input, and they're going to do subcommittees from all the academies, and they've all agreed to allow people to partner with us on subcommittees. And they're going to go through every single lesson plan and say, is this really what we need to do? Does it need 6 hours? And how do we embed scenario-based training in as many lesson plans as we can? We really believe that's the wave of the future, and that's where we'll create better peace officers. A step further is we've asked several agencies to not only allow their folks to participate in the subcommittees, we've asked them to, if possible, embed a member of your team, your training team, at Arizona Post for a year, because Lori has set an incredibly aggressive timeline. She wants to do this within the next year, kicking off the beginning of March, and update all those lesson plans. So we've asked them to embed someone in her team for 1 year, working here almost exclusively, and working on all those lesson plans. Greg Redman's in the room, retired Phoenix. Paul Penzone hired him, but in the last couple months, and has already given to us full-time to work with Lori's team for the next year to work on curriculum development. And we're working with a couple other agencies to have people come on board. Again, we believe it's really important to listen to our partners, but what better way to have input, to have someone sitting at the table every day as they go through all the lesson plans. So it's really exciting. Again, it's a very aggressive timeline, and Lori and her team just continue to do amazing things. Annual report. The last couple years, we put out an annual report. Sean Donegan is working on that. We should have that out in the next month, and we'll give you a copy of that. Again, Lori's team, Mandy's team, Mike and Mike's teams, and Dan's teams have done amazing things this year, and I want to make sure that you're well aware, but I also want to make sure that our partner agencies are well aware of all the work that goes on behind the scenes to make Arizona Post successful. Just a couple more things. As you know, I'm your dedicated public lobbyist. So I do spend some time down at the Capitol. That's not my favorite part of this job, I'll be honest with you. But I do it, and I do liaison with all the different agencies. And just a couple things. We're tracking House Bill 2133 is the bill that was going to double CGEP funding, as well as put in a provision where the state would front-load the CGEP funding, and then it'd get paid back on the back end as revenue came in. Unfortunately, that didn't make it out of the House Judiciary Committee last week. There's talk about restructuring it, trying to get it back in front of a committee before the session ends, but I'll keep you advised on that. And the last one is House Bill 2349. That is changing the makeup of the Post Board. I've talked about this before. As it stands now, we have to have one deputy and one officer in large and small counties or cities. What this legislation will do is it'll change it to non-supervisory positions. So no longer will have to be one deputy and one officer. It can be two officers, it can be two deputies, as long as they're in non-supervisory positions. Still, the big and small is still in there, city, counties, but it's no longer, it delineates officer, deputy. That passed out of the House, I believe, last week, and it's going to the Senate. So I'll keep you apprised of that. I don't believe that'll be a significant impact to us. I really don't. And again, I'm continuing to work with the governor's office on boards and commissions to get the three positions we have vacant on the board filled, and I'm just waiting for final appointments there. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll end my executive director's report, but I'm happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Thank you, Director. Any comments, questions? Okay. Moving on to the next agenda item, which is item D, consent agenda. All review. Everybody get a chance to review the minutes? Present? If so, I'll take a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robbins. I move to accept a consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I second.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, you are saying aye.
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 All opposed, you are saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Agenda item E. I'll turn over to the Director, reference Pima County Chief Deputy certification.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is a very unusual situation. I know in my tenure it's the first time it's happened, and in talking to people that have been here for a long time, we're not aware of it ever happening before, but I just wanted to keep you advised what we're doing. In January of 2021, when Sheriff Nanos was elected and took over in Pima County, he appointed Rick Castigar as his chief deputy. Several months into the year, we realized that Mr. Castigar had not submitted any paperwork to become recertified. He had been a prior law enforcement officer, and his certification had lapsed in 2019. I reached out to Sheriff Nanos, expressed, hey, how can we help? We need to make sure we get this accomplished. To date, nothing has happened. Mr. Castigar has still not become certified, and he's acting as a chief deputy in Pima County Sheriff's Department. We've had multiple conversations. I've had multiple conversations with him and the sheriff. Ben Henry's had a conversation with Chief Castigar, several conversations with Chief Castigar. We're at the point now where we just need to make you aware that of what's going on down in Pima County. Some of the concerns we have is, and as you can imagine, we get complaints all the time. We get concerned citizens, members of departments calling us with complaints. We have received several complaints that Mr. Castigar is wearing a uniform, he's carrying a gun, he's driving a vehicle with lights and sirens. He may or may not have taken some enforcement action, which is concerning to us. So in keeping with our normal procedures, when we get a complaint on an officer, regardless of rank, we send it back to their hiring authority. So I was telling Sheriff Daniels earlier, if we got a complaint on Sheriff Daniels, we would send it to Cochise County. If we got a complaint on Chief Williams, we would send it to the City of Phoenix. In this case, what we did is we packed up all the information we had. I had a conversation with the acting Pima County supervisor, administrator, on Monday, and told her we were sending this information to her. We hand-delivered it yesterday, and we're giving it back to them just like we normally do. It has a cover letter. It says, here are our concerns. Here's all the corresponding information we have. If and when you look into this, please circle back to us. So we have an open case, and we will wait to see what comes back from Pima County. The nuance here is, since this Mr. Castigar's certification lapsed in 2019, the board no longer has any jurisdiction over him. We would not have jurisdiction over him. The board would not have jurisdiction over him until at such time he was reappointed. And again, to date, that has not occurred. He has told us he is going to seek recertification. As you know, our personal history forms now are completed online, and then you have the ability to share it with an agency. He has completed that. He told us he completed that form. We confirmed that. He has shared it with Pima County, but we have yet to see anything else come of that process. And again, we're 14 months into that administration. And again, it's gotten to this point where we want to make sure the board was aware of what's going on down there and the actions we're taking. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Thank you, Director. Comments, questions? Chief?
Well, I've got a lot of comments, and I probably need to guard my words and actions. So what's our recourse? I mean, those of us sitting here with badges and guns had to go through some kind of process, and he's out and about wearing a uniform and the general public presuming that he's certified. What's our recourse?
The board, again, has no jurisdiction over his certification, so in essence, the board has no recourse. On your behalf, we are notifying the agencies that could potentially have recourse.
Okay.
And we will continue to monitor that, and I'll come back and give an update when we have information to share.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments, thoughts, questions? It's alarming, I will say that, and the fact that as the chief, and I'll echo her comments, have worked hard to sit here as certified sworn officers and to support the rule of law in our own capacities, and to see that. You hope that would have been corrected at the first level, first conversation, but we look forward to the feedback on that, Director.
Thanks.
I don't know what to say on either, besides what's already been said. All righty. Moving on. Final action cases. Case number 12019-190. Mr. Duran, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, Officer John K. Jones, offered the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. Officer Jones is currently employed by the Mesa Police Department. He is represented by Attorney Edmundo Robina, who I expected to be present, but I don't believe he is. On May 23rd, 2018, several Mesa Police Department officers responded to an emergency radio traffic of a subject trying to force his way into an apartment of his ex-girlfriend. A physical description of that subject was provided. Officer Jones arrived on scene and contacted Mr. R.J., who was asked to sit down. He would not sit down. A Terry frisk of Mr. R.J. was conducted with no weapons located. Mr. R.J. was again asked to sit down multiple times by Officer Jones. Mr. R.J. did not comply and took what Officer Jones perceived as a position from which he might be preparing to become assaulted. At that time, the officers, including Officer Jones, decided they must use force to detain Mr. R.J. In order for them to continue with their investigation. Officer Jones applied 2 knee strikes to Mr. R.J.'s abdomen and 5 closed fist strikes to his face. The Scottsdale Police Department was asked to conduct a criminal investigation into the use of force by the officers on scene. At the conclusion of their criminal investigation, they determined the use of force was reasonable and did not submit a report to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. However, an internal investigation by the Mesa Police Department concluded that force used by Officer Jones violated department policy and was an unnecessary use of force. Officer Jones was found to have displayed unsatisfactory performance, was given a 40-hour suspension, and required to attend remedial training. The parties to this consent agreement agree that Mr. Jones' actions, Officer Jones' actions, are in violation of post rules, specifically 13-4-109A8 and 12. The parties propose that the court suspend Officer Jones' peace officer certification for a period of 40 hours from March 14, 2022, and ending March 18, 2022 inclusive. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for a peace officer who has committed similar conduct and in line with the board's recent decisions in such cases. I am happy to answer any factual questions or refer any legal questions to your independent legal advisor.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Is Mr. Jones or counsel here that likes to address the board? Should I make that announcement? Now I'll yield back to members for questions and thoughts.
I have a question. Was he already suspended by Mesa PD for 40 hours?
Yes, sir.
And we're going to add 40 hours on top of that here in March. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes,
sir. I don't find that necessary. I think this was a rather politically charged case in the media. There was a good lot of conflict from what I understood and what I observed. If the guy's already served his 40-hour suspension, to add another 40-hour suspension on top of it with post, I think is excessive. So it's just my thought.
Mr. Duran, this was given to us by media? Is this how this case came to us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any other comments, questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that Mr. Jones is, we use the post 40-hour suspension and make it concurrent with the Mesa suspension, and that he can go on record of having a 40-hour suspension here, but he's already served it. This becomes monetary, affects his family monetarily to do it again after it's already been done.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
This is Lisa. I second.
Thank you, Lisa. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Duran. Second case, 2021-061. Mr. Caldwell, the floor is yours. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former recruit Corey Duran of the Casagrande Police Department. The board initiated proceedings against his certification during the November 2021 meeting. Complaint notices were sent via regular and certified mail. The one sent by regular mail was not returned to AZ Post, and the one sent by certified mail was delivered to his address on November 29, 2021. Neither Duran nor anyone representing him contacted AZ Post to request a hearing. To briefly summarize his case, Recruit Duran was in Class 546 at the Phoenix Regional Police Academy. On March 25, 2021, training officers noted his locker was unsecured, lock was actually on the door, but it wasn't in a closed position, you know, securing his locker. Instructors removed the lock and placed a plastic cable tie on Duran's locker. The next morning, Duran cut the plastic tie, borrowed a lock from a recruit in another class, and placed that one on his locker. Recruit Duran later told Academy staff that the lock belonged to him, and he purchased it at Walmart 2 weeks prior to the start of the police academy. He also submitted a written statement with similar information. Academy staff continued to look into the matter, and upon further questioning, recruit Duran admitted he lied to keep from getting in trouble. Recruit Duran was dismissed from the academy and terminated from Casa Grande PD. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board deny Duran's peace officer certification, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have about this case.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions? Comments?
This is Lisa. I have a question, please.
Go ahead, Lisa.
So, the recruit never graduated. He left the academy March 26, 2021. So why would the board want to deny certification if he's never graduated from the academy? Is it to preclude him from ever applying again? But if he were to apply, they would do a search and see that he was fired or let go from the academy.
Director, you want to address that?
Yeah, good morning, Lisa. Yeah, in a nutshell, you're correct. We are requesting or suggesting the board deny certification, and currently under your rules, a denial is permanent. As you remember, the rulemaking process we're going through right now, we're opting to change that, and we're going to make some denials temporary and allow the board to put in a time limit on when a denial might be temporary versus permanent. In this case, we offered him the opportunity to put this case on hold to wait to see if this rule changed, and he never responded to us. That's why we're moving this case forward.
Okay, now I do remember. Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Director. Thank you, Lisa. Any more questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Voskis, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Duran.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Chief Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, so you can say an aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say aye. Nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Next case, 2020-085. Ms. Heckel, the floor is yours, and good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. This is a final action case for former Sergeant Butler with the Gila River Police Department. I will briefly summarize this case. Sergeant Butler worked at the Gila River Police Department from 2010 to April of 2020. In October of 2019 and again in December of 2019, Arizona Post staff received two anonymous letters complaining about the actions of a Gila River Police Department lieutenant. The lieutenant was investigated by the department, and they advised they could not substantiate any Arizona Post rule violations by that lieutenant. During the Gila River Police Department investigation, it was determined that a civilian employee, Michael, had written the anonymous letters to Post. It was also determined that Michael had requested Sergeant Butler read the letters prior to mailing them to Post. On April 1st, 2020, Sergeant Butler was served with a notice of investigation and was interviewed by Internal Affairs. During that interview, Sergeant Butler advised he did not know any of the details of the lieutenant's investigation. He also admitted he was contacted by Michael because Michael was wondering what else he could do and who he could report the lieutenant's actions to, since he felt the department was not going to discipline the lieutenant. Sergeant Butler had suggested he contact the department's command staff, human resources, or Arizona Post. He also said that Michael had offered to let him read the letters, but he never did read them. On April 15, 2020, Sergeant Butler was interviewed again, and when he was confronted by the Internal Affairs investigators with text messages between himself and Michael, which spoke about the letters and the prior investigations, Sergeant Butler admitted he had been dishonest in the first interview. He said he had known about the original investigation, and he had read the letters written by Michael. Sergeant Butler resigned from the Gila River Police Department. On October 20, 2021, the board voted to initiate proceedings against Mr. Butler's peace officer certification. Per policy, complaint notices were sent to Mr. Butler's address of record. The letter sent by regular mail was not returned to Arizona Post. The letter sent by certified mail was picked up by the individual on November 8, 2021. On December 21, 2021, I received an email with a letter attached from Mr. Butler. Mr. Butler advised he did not want a hearing and did not want to address the board, but wanted the letter to offer his explanation. You should have gotten a copy of the letter in your packet. He advised he did not know the specifics about the lieutenant's investigation, but had heard rumors, and that is why he told the internal affairs investigators he did not know details. He also advised he did not remember reading the letters or texting Michael about the letters, even though he was shown those messages. In the letter, he did not address that he had admitted to being dishonest to the internal affairs investigators, but said he had a different perspective of that interview. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Williams, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Butler's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Echo. Next case 2020-155. Mr. McIntyre, the floor is yours, and good morning.
Good morning, sir. Mr. Chairman, if I could, just this is a case that Mr. Johnson has recused himself from.
And also for the record, Director Silver.
I'll be recusing myself from this case.
Thank you. Mr. McIntyre, the floor is yours.
I'm Robert McIntyre, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former DPS State Trooper Michael Entando, who was terminated by the Department of Public Safety on August 7, 2020, for being untruthful to DPS internal affairs detectives during their investigation into allegations of his unprofessional conduct. His case was presented before the board on December 20, 2021. At that time, the board voted to initiate proceedings. The issue before the board today is to determine whether to accept, reject, or modify the finding of fact and conclusion of law and impose a sanction if appropriate. Former Trooper Entando had been employed as a Yuma City Police Department with the Yuma City Police Department from January 13, 2014 until June 11, 2016. He was then employed by the Department of Public Safety on June 11, 2016 until his termination. In about February 2016, while a Yuma police officer, then Officer Entando, had sexual intercourse with a 17-year-old female high school senior named Tiffany, who at the time was a participant in our high school's police explorer-type program. His actions were in violation of Arizona Revised Statutes 13-1405.A, sexual contact with a minor, a Class 6 felony. As part of this investigation, on April 8, 2020, and on May 26, 2020, Tiffany was interviewed by the Yuma Police Department and DPS Internal Affairs. She disclosed that in about February 2016, after her first ride-along with Officer Entando, she sexted him a picture of her breasts. During a second ride-along with Officer Entando, while out on a call, Officer Entando grabbed Tiffany's buttocks. Shortly thereafter, he asked her to engage in sexual intercourse with him in the police vehicle. She declined. Trooper Entando was interviewed twice by DPS Internal Affairs detectives, once on April 9, 2020, and again on July 27, 2020. During both interviews, Trooper Entando was untruthful when he denied that he grabbed Tiffany's buttocks. He was again untruthful when he stated he was, quote, totally appropriate, when he texted with Tiffany, denying he had any sexually oriented texting with her. During both interviews, former Trooper Entando was untruthful when he denied having sexual intercourse with Tiffany at his residence when she was 17 years old. Former Trooper Entando was untruthful during both of his interviews with DPS detectives when he explained he had sexual intercourse with Tiffany not in early 2016, but in 2018 when she was 18 years old. To verify this, he recounted seeing his assigned DPS white and blue SUV patrol vehicle parked outside his residence when Tiffany arrived at his home. During the July 27, 2020 interview, DPS detectives told former Trooper Antando that between September 2017 to July 2018, he was on industrial for light duty and his assigned patrol vehicle had not been parked at his residence. Former Trooper Antando untruthfully maintained that his state vehicle had been parked at his residence when Tiffany arrived at his house and he had sexual intercourse with her in 2018. Former Trooper Antando was untruthful to DPS detectives when he claimed only texting with Tiffany. He could not explain to the detectives why the talk activity records for his cell phone to Tiffany's cell phone showed he made a total of 5 telephone calls to her between the dates of October 21st, 2016 and December 2nd, 2016. The Yuma Police Department did not submit the criminal case to the Yuma County Attorney's Office against former Trooper Antando for the charge of sexual contact with a minor. A notice of the complaint was sent to former Trooper Antando's last known address by both regular and certified mail. The certified envelope was returned to DPS unopened. Returned to AZ Post unopened. On November 10, 2021, attempts were made to contact former Trooper Antando at his listed telephone number. No one answered at that number, and a message could not be left. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke former Trooper Antando's officer certification. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Antando's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Jamie.
Matt Figueroa, second.
Thank you both. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay.
Aye.
Lisa, was that an aye or a nay? Lisa, for your vote, what was that, an aye or a nay?
It was an aye.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Chair votes aye also. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-132. Mr. McIntyre, back to you.
I'll be recusing myself in this case as well.
For the record, Mr. McIntyre, be recused.
This case involves former DPS recruit trooper Christopher Bell, who was first presented to the board on November 17, 2021. At that time, the board initiated the motion to initiate proceedings. The issue before the board today is to determine whether to accept, reject, or modify the finding of fact and conclusion of law and impose a sanction if appropriate. The facts of the case are as follows. On July 10, 2021, at approximately 0029 hours, DPS Sergeant Edward Warren, while on duty, witnessed a Jeep being driven towards him northbound on Dysart Road, almost at the I-10 overpass. After the Jeep made an abrupt stop at the stoplight, he saw the Jeep make a sudden and aggressive illegal left turn to go westbound onto the I-10 eastbound off-ramp. The sergeant activated his lights and followed the Jeep up the exit ramp, where he then saw the Jeep make a sudden turn on the ramp, stopping within a foot of the barrier fence. The sergeant made contact with the driver of the Jeep, Recruit Bell, who smelled of intoxicating liquor and displayed signs of intoxication. During the subsequent DUI investigation, Recruit Bell voluntarily submitted to a preliminary breath test to show his blood alcohol content at 1.96. The blood draws taken from Recruit Bell on July 10, 2020 at 0145 hours ultimately showed a blood alcohol content of 0.194. DPS Trooper Hernandez arrested Recruit Bell on suspicion of extreme DUI in violation of 28-1381-A.1, a Class 1 misdemeanor, and aggravated DUI, driving the wrong way on a highway in violation ARS 28-1383.8.5, a Class 4 felony. On February 15, 2020, I learned the charges against Recruit Bell were changed by the Attorney General's attorney of the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, Vehicular Crimes Unit, as three misdemeanor DUI offenses. Research was done to identify Recruit Bell's most current residents, which seemed to be in New Jersey. On November 24th, 2021, a notice of complaint was sent to both regular and certified mail to former Recruit Bell's possible New Jersey address. U.S. Post records showed the certified mail returned from New Jersey to Arizona Post with a forwarding address in Buckeye, Arizona. On December 1st, 2021, a second certified letter was sent to former Recruit Bell at the Buckeye address, but was returned to Arizona Post on December 20th, 2021. Attempts were made to telephonically contact Recruit Bell at the telephone numbers in Arizona and New Jersey. No one answered the New Jersey phone number, and a message was left for the recruit to call Arizona Post. Recruit Bell did not answer the Arizona telephone number, and a message could not be left. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board deny former Recruit Bell's peace officer certification, and I'd be happy to address any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oskus, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Chief Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Moving on to new cases. First case, 2019-099. Mr. Caldwell, the floor is yours. Good morning again.
Chairman, members of the board again. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Officer Brett Marsden of the Superior Police Department. The Superior Police Department initiated an internal investigation after a local attorney alleged misconduct on the part of four of their officers. This investigation was eventually provided to AZ Post staff, and reports indicate that on March 10, 2017, superior officers were involved in a pursuit with a vehicle driven by Mr. Aaron M. Aaron eluded capture but made his way back to town and was located the next day by officers Hensley and Marsden, who were able to take him into custody after a brief struggle. We actually have body cam footage of the incident. If the board members were here last month, you're going to see the same videos again. But it shows body cam from both Officer Marsden and Officer Hensley. And just for point of clarification, you're going to see Officer Hensley is the one that actually makes contact with the gentleman in the parking lot. So I would term him as the lead officer in the arrest.
Yeah, go ahead.
Relax.
What's wrong?
Cut your shit. You know exactly what's up. Roll over on your belly. Do it now. Go.
What are you talking about?
Cuff him up, dude.
What's going on?
Cuff him up, dude. You're going to get tased. Get down. Get your ass down.
I'm down. What the fuck?
You know exactly what's up.
Ow. What the fuck are you doing?
Put your hands behind your back.
Ow. I'm trying. Like, what the fuck?
Go ahead and go, dude.
Jesus fucking Christ. What the fuck is going on?
Tase him. Tase him. Get over on your belly. Tase him.
I'm trying to get over.
Make loud on your back. Make loud on your back. serious?
Oh, what the fuck?
Get in the back seat. I'll save us. Sit. I'll get the car. Did you need some help? What's that? Really? Do you have ID? Linda, do you want to go to jail for this guy?
No.
Okay, you need to stay out of this, okay?
Hey, you don't have to use force like that, bro.
Do you have ID?
You don't know.
Okay. Are you trespassing? Do you have permission to be here? Leave. Leave immediately. Leave. Leave immediately. Okay? Go away. This doesn't pertain to you. Go.
Hey, can I go in the store?
Go.
Just go.
Go. Go right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Later in the same day, a male named Clint came to the Superior Police Department to check on the status of his friend, Aaron. After a brief interaction with officers, Clint was also taken into custody. We do have another short video to show you as the arrest of Clint. It's going to be seen from body camera footage of an officer who was working the desk that day when he came into the office. And again, it's going to show what seems to be Officer Hensley taking the lead in the arrest of Clint. And Dale, if you can show that.
You're here to pick up your friend? Okay, 1 second. Hey, Ansley, can you come here a minute? Our friend's friend is here. Or Rusty. It is. Well, he's here to pick him up.
What brings you here?
I let him.
The gas station told me that you might have arrested my friend.
Yeah, he's under arrest. He's going to jail. He's not being released.
How did you get in touch with him? Huh? How did you get in touch with him?
He called me from the gas station.
What did he say?
He said, I need a ride.
Remember what time he called you?
No.
No, just this morning sometime.
Do you have ID?
I do.
Let's have a look.
Yeah.
What's that?
Is that necessary?
Yeah, it is.
Why?
Is there any reason why you don't
suspect?
Do you have ID? Yeah, you involve yourself in a criminal investigation involving our
friend. I didn't involve myself
in
anything. I came to pick up my friend.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Do you have ID?
Do I have to carry ID?
You have to identify yourself to the police when they have a valid reason to contact you.
Am I being suspected of a crime?
Yeah, it's called refusal to give truthful name.
My name is Clint Peterson.
Thank you, Clint. Not a good idea. Now, what do you want, Clint?
I came to pick up my friend.
How do we know you're not part of this?
Part of what?
Your boy ran from the cops in a long pursuit last night. How did you get in touch with him?
He did not run from the cops in a long pursuit last night.
Is that right? And how do you know that?
Because he was with me.
Where?
In AJ.
Were you driving, maybe?
No.
Wait, who's your friend?
Not adding up, man. Try again.
What's his name? Well,
what's the matter? Nah, we got a false info now. You're under arrest, man.
False info for what?
Do not fight us.
You're lying, law enforcement.
Are you serious?
Hey, you're under arrest. Stop resisting. You're under arrest.
I'm not resisting.
You're under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest. You're under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. You can go to jail with your buddy now. Yep.
Are you serious, Clint?
You're under arrest for false reporting law enforcement and resisting arrest.
False reporting? What did I report falsely?
You were not with your buddy last night.
And he wasn't with you either, so cut the shit.
He's going to jail now.
Gets my D.I. first.
Who's in there? Is anyone in there still?
No.
Shabby.
All right.
Track 27 out there.
It's okay. So this is getting it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Sorry,
why are you guys doing
this? Clint was charged with hindering prosecution and resisting arrest, but charges were later dismissed. Body camera footage seems to show Officer Ensley taking the lead in both arrests, and Superior PD sustained various allegations against him. He resigned from the agency, and the board initiated proceedings against his certification last month. Officer Marsden was not appointed by a law enforcement agency at the time of Superior's investigation and was not interviewed or contacted about this case. In addition, reports indicate that on the day of the incident, he was working in a training capacity with Officer Ensley as his FTO. Superior's investigation noted that Officer Marsden failed to communicate with Aaron. That's the first arrest of the body cam footage that you saw. Superior's investigation noted he failed to communicate with Aaron before taking him into custody, did not provide medical assistance after the struggle, and did not complete a use of force form documenting the incident. Regarding Clint's arrest, Officer Marsden was not involved in the decision to take him into custody and only came to assist when he heard the sound of a struggle coming from the lobby. So Officer Marsden was one of the officers in sort of that, what I would term that pile of police officers you saw trying to get him into custody, but he was apparently not in the lobby when the actual arrest or the decision to make the arrest occurred. Ultimately, no allegations of misconduct were sustained against him by Superior Chief Alanese. Based on the information available at this time, Arizona Post staff recommends that the board resolve in the future. As such, any agency wishing to appoint him would need to address the following issues during a background investigation and polygraph. Has Officer Marsden ever used excessive force in the apprehension or arrest of any person? Has Officer Marsden intentionally violated policies or procedures specifically relating to documentation of use of force incidents? Has Officer Marsden intentionally disregarded policies and procedures specifically relating to security medical aid or persons injured during use of force incidents? That in mind, yeah, I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have about this case.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, one question.
Go ahead, sir.
I just want to clarify that Officer Marsden was on FTO status at the time of these events.
I don't know if they had a specific FTO program, but the reports indicate that he was sort of in a training status and that Officer Ensley was training him on the day the incident occurred.
Thank you.
Yeah, it says in the report that Ensley was a FTO.
I think at the time he was considered an FTO, but I don't know if Superior PD actually had a sort of an official FTO program with like daily observation reports. I think it was a little bit more of an informal program. If that makes sense.
So are we trying to discern misconduct in both events? One event?
You can take into consideration, obviously, the actions in both arrests, both the Clint and Aaron.
Okay, so the first arrest, it looks like Ensley's taking the lead, grabs him, is giving orders to what would be assumed as his subordinate OIT to get cuffs on the guy, under the impression that there's probable cause from an event that happened the evening previous?
Yes, sir.
To affect the arrest, correct?
Yes, sir. And from the reports, I apologize, Officer Marsden wasn't even in the lobby when Clint came in and was interacting with Officer Endley and then the other officers there. His report indicates that he was in the back, I think, doing some paperwork or something. The sound of struggle coming from the lobby, he came out to assist other officers. So he was involved in the arrest, but I don't think he had any part in the decision-making process.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, this is a very unique case for us, and the reason being is at the time this occurred, although there was a civil lawsuit against the town, there was no administrative investigation at all. It took us months to liaison with Superior to do a thorough internal investigation. It was ultimately done by the Pinal County Sheriff's Office. And therefore, they never interviewed Marsden. They never really even looked at him for that. So we just don't have enough information to bring either a no action or a initiate. So that's why we're saying, what we suggest to the board is, if you give us a resolve in the future status, that allows us, at least if he was ever to reapply for another agency, we could at least clear this up, clear either one way or the other, clear up what occurred during those two different incidents.
But he left the agency unbeknownst to him. Well, there was no internal investigation when he left, so he didn't leave even under the impression that he was under investigation, right?
That is correct.
He just left because he left.
Correct.
So it wasn't a deal where he's dodging an investigation.
Correct.
And there's nothing to say he would have been the subject of the investigation or merely a witness in the investigation. Fair enough?
I would agree with that, yes.
Yes, sir.
Because in a lot of this, it almost appears he's somewhat a witness to an extent, at least in the second half of it. He takes place in the first, or he interacts in the first arrest.
The issue is, and I think Billy talked about it, is in the investigation they did touch on a few different things that may have been policy violations. But again, until you sit him down for an interview, I don't think we can ascertain that. That's why we're saying let us. I guess what I'm saying is we're not comfortable saying no action, agency discretion, because we just don't have all the facts, and we would hate to do that and then something come out later. This resolve in the future has no bearing on him until such time that he reapplies for another agency, which in the 3 years since this has not occurred, has not happened. He actually, I feel, Billy, correct me if I'm wrong, I think his certification actually lapses next week, sometime this month. So we don't believe he'll ever come back to law enforcement, but if he did, we would just have to clear this up. And again, it can clear him up as he did nothing wrong. But until we have an opportunity, someone has an opportunity to sit him down and interview him, we just can't do that. That is the explanation for our recommendation to the board.
My concern is just the precedent issue. It's not whether he comes back or he doesn't come back. It's just the issue of precedence is that there's a lot of ifs, and we're basing everything on two videos that we watched. If he had misconduct or whatever the case may be, we're watching the videos, so if we thought there was misconduct, there's misconduct. If somebody thought there wasn't misconduct, there's not misconduct. We're looking at it. So then the question of interviewing him, if he didn't do anything wrong, what are we interviewing him about? Only other concern I guess I would have here is I actually thought there might be some mistake on the first page when you listed all the agencies and the timeline.
That is 100% accurate, sir.
I've never seen that before.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, just some information to maybe help you all make a decision. First of all, Colonel, you're absolutely right. None of the agencies that he has ever worked for has submitted a termination report with misconduct alleged. Regarding, and I think the director mentioned it too, Chief Alanis in the report did specifically mention possible misconduct on the part of Officer Marston. It involves what I would term policy violations, not summoning medical aid, not identifying himself to Aaron before taking him into custody, and not completing a use of force report. Chief Alanis did mention those things, but didn't sustain any of those allegations, and we don't know if that was because Officer Marston was not available to be interviewed or not. But those were specifically mentioned in his report.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may, I'm the conspiracy theorist person. It is not normal for you to bounce from agency to agency like that, so I just want that on the record. I find that extremely suspect, and I do appreciate what Colonel Silbert is saying. There's no way this guy should be a peace officer, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to close this case and resolve in the future.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Next case, back to Mr. Caldwell, case number 2021-189.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Officer Byth with the Fort McDowell Police Department. On September 18, 2021, personnel from Fort McDowell PD, including Officer Byth, responded to reports of shots fired and located a group of individuals who were apparently target shooting. A member of the group was arrested for an outstanding warrant, and others were cited for trespassing. Supervisors later reviewed body camera footage of the incident and noted concerning behavior on the part of Officer Byth. When driving to the call, he drew his service weapon, held it in his hand, and transferred the weapon between his hands while also steering and using the radio. Officer Byth possibly pointed the muzzle at his own hand and arm and at the interior of the vehicle. Later, Officer Byth loaded a round in the chamber of his patrol rifle, changed the selector from safe to fire, and approached suspects and fellow officers with the weapon in that condition. Ultimately, the agency alleged that Officer Biden improperly handled his issued weapons contrary to departmental training and policy. Fort McDowell also noted a possible discrepancy between Officer Biden's report and footage from the incident. In his report, Officer Biden said he drew his Glock from the holster after hearing gunfire. However, Fort McDowell determined that he drew his handgun approximately 1 minute and 10 seconds before any gunfire could be heard on either dash cam or body cam footage of the incident. Officer Biden resigned from Fort McDowell, but later told post staff that his response to the call was due to a heightened sense of awareness from information in the dispatch, the capabilities of his backup officers, and history associated with the particular area where other people were reported to be shooting. He asserted that he heard gunshots while responding to the call near the time he drew his weapon and did not intentionally provide false or misleading information in his report. We actually have a short video that's available for the board members to see if they think it could shed some light on the incident. It's ready to go if y'all would like to see it. I think it's only about 3 or 4 minutes.
Sure.
Dale, can you go ahead and show it, please?
I'm at the swing area, they're shooting off.
Fort McDowell police, put the gun down!
I can't see where they are. I can see where the vehicle is over at the swing area.
Put your hands up! Put the gun down! Police! Put your hands up and put the gun down! Stop shooting!
My rifle.
We're going to come in through that dead road that goes along with it.
We good?
Police Department!
Police! How many are you in the vessel?
Show us your hands! How many are you in the vehicle?
Sorry.
Everybody get out of the vehicle now! Walk towards the front of the vehicle, put your hands on top of the vehicle! Turn around and put your hands on top of the vehicle. Face your vehicle. Put your hands on the hood. Hey, the rear passenger, walk around to the front of the vehicle. Is there any more? Other passenger, do the same thing. I want everybody to the front of the vehicle.
Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board take no action with agency discretion. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
I move to close this case with no action with agency discretion.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Next case, 2020-024. Mr. Deltron?
Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse myself.
Does the record note that? Ms. Delton, back to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton with your compliance unit. My first four cases involve former recruits from the Phoenix Regional Police Academy. So I just wanted you to know that up front. My first case, I'll talk about all the context and lay all the foundational. And the next three, I try not to be too redundant, but if I have some information that I'm not presenting or some questions you have, please feel free to ask and I'll go over everything. My first case involves former recruit Todd Farron. On December 11th of 2019, the Phoenix Regional Police Academy staff aware that on November 25th of 2019, as well as December 9th and 11th of that year, several recruits from Class 533 were involved in cheating on radio cones and 100-block testing, including recruit Farron. As a result, an administrative investigation was conducted and five separate recruits were implicated in this misconduct, and all five admitted to either giving, receiving, or requesting answers to test questions. Let me note right here that the fifth recruit is not in one of these cases that I'm presenting today. That matter has already been resolved and is a disposition reached by you, the board members, and that former recruit. So there's four today. So let's get back to this. Prior to cheating, Class 533 received instructions in rules and regulations and ethics and professionalism during the first week of the academy, October 7th through October 11th of 2019. Some of the recruits from this class observed recruit Farron and others allegedly cheating during tests and brought it to the attention of the academy staff. One of the recruits told the staff members that she and recruit Farron carpooled and that she heard him talking to his wife on the phone, telling recruit Fulton who had not done a very good job on his test and implied that Farron did not really give him his test to look at. He just didn't hide his test from Fulton. During the administrative interview, recruit Farron specifically indicated that recruit Haig had been involved in asking him the radio code 1073 by mouthing the question to him during the test. He also admitted to assisting recruit Fulton by allowing him to view his completed test by sliding it into a position where he would be easier to see by Fulton. After the test, Fulton told Farron that he owed him a steak dinner for help on the tests. Recruit Farron said that he did not help recruit Fulton, but he did not try to cover his test paper either. Farron added, "But I did not tell him not to look at my paper." Sergeant Long then asked Farron, "So I guess I'm going to ask you this. Is this, knowing what I said that you know, is this the type of behavior that I have indicated is appropriate for police work or for this academy?" Recruit Farron replied, "No, sir." Effective December 12, 2019, Recruit Farron, along with the other recruits involved in his cheating, was dismissed from the academy and his employment terminated. It should be noted that this case was placed on hold at the request of Mr. Farron, pending the board's decision regarding a possible rule change for temporary denials. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Yelton. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Farron.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All
aye.
Thank you, Lisa. All opposed, they're going to say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2020-026. Mr. Duncan, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Phoenix Police recruit Eric Fulton. Again, the same information as the first case is the same here, same backdrop, same academy class. Some of the recruits from this class observed recruit Fulton and others allegedly cheating during the test and brought this to the attention of the academy staff. One of the recruits told the staff members that she and recruit Farron carpooled and she heard him talking as I presented in the other case. As I talked about before, recruit Fulton was the other end of that subject matter about cheating. During an interview, recruit Fulton told staff that he was struggling with his radio codes and had written an earlier memo to Sergeant Long, the academy sergeant. The memo indicated that he was having trouble making his transition between military coding and the codes of the Phoenix police use. He said that he had several codes that kept coming up in his head and that he had been trying to, quote unquote, throw the garbage out and learn the new ones, and he had asked for help previously. Sergeant Long told Recruit Farron several allegations of cheating were made, such as recruits mouthing answers to radio codes in the classroom during testing, gesturing, and using hand signals. Sergeant Long said this was occurring in order to give hints to what the radio codes were and also the moving of test answer sheets, which were complete or semi-complete for other people to view. Sergeant Long asked Recruit Fulton if he had been involved in any of those things, and Recruit Fulton replied, "No hand gestures, sir. The moving of the hand over so I could see the paper, yes." Fulton was specifically speaking about cheating on the radio code test off of Recruit Farron's answer sheet. Sergeant Long asked Recruit Fulton if he told Recruit Farron if he owed him a steak dinner for helping him on the test, and Fulton replied, "I did state that I owed him a dinner for helping me, yes." He was also, Recruit Fulton was also dismissed from the academy on December 12th. This case was also placed on hold at the request of Mr. Fulton because of the possible rule change. And based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'm happy to answer any questions on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to initiate proceedings and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Fulton.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Second. Chief Oscar.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2020-027. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
Mr. Chair, I need to recuse myself.
Let the record note.
Thank you.
This case involves former police recruit Drake Haig, who is also a member of Class 533 implicated in this alleged cheating. One recruit did tell the academy staff that a radio code test, during a radio code test, he had started looking around the class and saw recruit Haig, Farron, and Baltzell cheat. When asked how they were cheating, he said that he saw them leaning forward to get each other's attention and mouthing questions. On the last test, the recruit said that he observed recruit Haig push his test paper to the side when he was finished and leave it face up, and recruit Hoover looking at the test sheet. During Recruit Hoover's interview with Sergeant Long, he admitted he was cheating off of Recruit Haig's test and that Haig knew this was taking place. Haig later denied this, although several of the recruits witnessed specifically admitted that he had been involved, that they had been involved in the cheating activities with Haig. So all the other recruits admitted to cheating with Haig. All the other recruits that I'm presenting on today, that is. Hoover admitted to struggling with the test process and having conversations with Haig, in which Haig made statements such as, "Hey, we've got this, bro, and I've got you." Hoover stated that Haig was aware and allowed him to cheat off of his test. During Recruit Haig's interview, he said the only radio code ever in question was the radio code 1071, and he looked up at Recruit Baltzell as Baltzell's kind of mouth police range to Haig, to which Haig shook his head no. Haig was asked about the statement made by Baltzell that Baltzell had mouthed the uses of handcuffs for the radio code 1042, and Haig replied, "I did not see that. No, sir. I did not ask about 1042 either, sir." Sergeant Long then asked Recruit Haig if another recruit pointed to a female in the classroom for the purpose of hinting to Haig that that was the correct answer for a radio code to request a female officer. Haig said, "Sir, no, sir." After the interview, Recruit Haig admitted that he did cheat with Recruit Baltzell by mouthing the words and signaling, although he asserts Baltzell was asking him rather than the other way around. Haig admitted that he knew that this was cheating, and as Farron reported that cheating staff violated academy rules, he was evasive and when he was answering questions by the staff and denied all the other allegations and observed his involvement in cheating, which had been observed by the other recruits, and those admitted to cheating with him. Recruit Haig was also dismissed on December 12th and was also terminated from employment. This one was also put on hold at Mr. Haig's request pending the board's decision on a possible rule change. And based upon the facts of this case, the board recommends to initiate proceeding. And again, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Elton. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oscar, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Haig.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2020-025. Mr. Dalton, back to you again.
Chief Williams, I have to recuse myself.
Let the record be noted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My fourth case involving the academy issues involves former police recruit Woodrow Hoover. Woodrow Hoover was also a member of Class 533 and was interviewed by Class Sergeant Long and was asked about cheating during the tests. Hoover said, on occasion, I have been stumped with a few of the questions, and I would kind of try to glance over at Recruit Haig's paper to see if he had any answers that I did not have. And on another occasion that I can recall, I looked up over at Recruit Farron, and I think it was 42 or the 1042 code that I mouthed, what's 42 to him? And he said something back, but I don't remember if I could understand what he was lipping back to me. Recruit Hoover continued, and what is odd, I guess it was something more affecting us with the three strikes rule, I think. I didn't realize the ramifications as much as I realize them now, that it's wrong and against regulations entirely. So I think at the time I was thinking that it was more like someone was helping me instead of cheating. Although Recruit Hoover said initially he viewed the cheating as receiving help, Sergeant Long asked him if he could understand the difference on the views of this thing, right? In other words, the academy views staff viewing that as cheating, and Hoover replied yes. Recruit Training Officer Bach asked Recruit Hoover if they had been cheating when Recruit Farron split his answer sheet to a location where Hoover could see it. Hoover replied, I believe so, yes. Also, effective December 12th, Recruit Hoover was terminated and dismissed from the academy. This case was also placed on hold pending the potential rule change at his request. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Any questions, comments? There are none. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Hoover.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? There are none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-125. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On my final case today, this involves former Phoenix Police Officer Connor Orth Smith. On July 16, 2021, Patrol Officer Orth Smith was dispatched to help security
Mr.
personnel.
Chair, if I can, I'm sorry. I need to recuse myself, and it has to be on the record. I'm sorry.
Be noted. Thank you. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
Okay, thank you. Officer Orth Smith was dispatched to help security personnel at a local hospital after a man who was later identified by his first name as Mardell refused to leave the property and became physical with the security officers. Officer Orth Smith contacted Mardell, who appeared to be intoxicated, and agreed to transport him to a location that was near the facility so he could receive help. Officer Orth Smith was attempting to drop off Mardell at 99th Avenue McDowell when Mardell assaulted Officer Orth Smith and was arrested and later booked on those and other charges. Several days later, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office alerted the Phoenix Police Department about concerns regarding the body-worn camera video related to the arrest. At the same time, an internal review of this incident was underway by the Phoenix PD. The review showed Officer Orth Smith attempting to remove Mardell from the police Tahoe and pulling him out, dropping Mardell onto the ground with Mardell's hands cuffed behind him and landing on his head and then onto his back. Officer Orth Smith removed the cuffs from Mardell and told him to leave the area. At this point, Mardell walked up to Officer Orth Smith and appeared on the video to punch or grab Officer Orth Smith. Officer Orth Smith defended himself with multiple fist strikes to Mardell's face and upper body area. Officer Orth Smith did have his handcuffs in his left hand while he was delivering those strikes to Mardell. However, it appears that any contact with Mardell by the cuffs was inadvertent, as Officer Orth Smith was defending himself at that point. Officer Orr Smith then delivered an impact push to separate Mardell from him, causing Mardell to fall to the ground. Mardell remained on the ground, and Officer Orr Smith requested fire personnel to treat Mardell for a bloody nose and other injuries that he may have sustained during the altercation and subsequent fall to the ground. Officer Orr Smith placed the cuffs back onto Mardell behind his back, and Mardell was still, hands were holding Officer Orr Smith's fingers. So he had grabbed Officer Orr Smith's hands and was squeezing his fingers and pinching them. When Officer Orr Smith told him to let go of them, the officer then delivered approximately 5 fist strikes with the right side of his hand to Mardell's back in order to compel Mardell to release his fingers. After other officers arrived, they attempted to place Mardell into the Tahoe while he was restrained. During this time, Mardell used his right hand to grab Officer Orr Smith's pants. Officer Orr Smith told him to let go, but Mardell did not release his grip. Officer Orr Smith responded by delivering 1 palm heel strike using his right hand and struck Mardell, in the back of his head, causing his head to hit the side of the plastic seat in the patrol car. We do have a segment of the of Officer Orr Smith's body worn camera video to show you today. So, Dale, will you please show that video now?
Okay, so you can either get out of my car the easy way, or you're getting your ass beat. You're gonna get out? All right, dude. I understand that, dude. You're trespassed, though.
How am I gonna trespass?
Get out, dude. Come on, sit up and get out. Watch your feet. I'm going to get you from the other side. All right, dude. You got 5 seconds to get out before I throw you out. Dude, get the fuck up. Get the fuck up, dude. You don't fucking lay down in a cop car. Come here. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out, dude. Get out.
I did not do nothing.
Get out.
I did not do nothing.
Get out.
I did not do nothing.
I'm fucking sorry. Watch your fucking leg.
I'm coming, man.
Roll over. Get the fuck over.
I'm coming, hurry up. I'm coming, hurry up.
You gotta get up, dude.
I'm coming, man.
Get up.
Pick me up.
Put your legs, both legs under you.
Pick me up, move.
Fucking stay on the ground. If you get up, I'm gonna kick your ass, dude. Because, dude, you're being fucking physical with me. Now knock this shit off. Don't fucking reach up. Stay the fuck down right now. Get the fuck out of here, dude. Get the fuck out of here. Don't open that fucking car door. Now fuck off. Get the fuck away. Hey, Paul George, can I get fired to my 20? I'm at about 99th and McDowell. I'm behind the Chevron. Yeah, the one in Custy, he just got physical. He's got some blood coming out of his nose. Could I get a supervisor, too?
I'm good, dude.
I didn't have to let you move.
All right, dude. Get the fuck over.
Oh, fuck you.
George, I'm code for now. He's in custody again. It's going to be 99th and McDowell. The Chevron where we do the 1025 for Abbeville.
I did not do nothing. I didn't even say nothing.
Thank you, Dale. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Go ahead and start.
Okay. I didn't see any video. Let me note that during some of that video, before he was handcuffed again, and Officer Smith was delivering some more fist strikes, you couldn't really see it, but Mardell was grabbing his pants at that time as well. So he was not letting go of his pants or his leg. That was kind of off video, and that's what proceeded with the fist strikes before he cuffed him again. So on July 23rd, 2021, Officer Orr Smith declined to be interviewed by criminal investigators and was booked into jail on 3 counts of aggravated assault. He resigned that day prior to being interviewed by the Phoenix Police Professional Standards Bureau investigators. The action of Officer Orr Smith, the actions were found to be unreasonable and not proportional to Mardell's actions. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Delton. Comments? Questions?
I got a couple questions.
Director?
So when they say that he was found not to be, his actions weren't reasonable, let me start with this. And I'll go on record as saying this because the hypocrisy, if I didn't say it, would probably a lightning bolt would strike me. I have actually used foul language during the course of my career on more than one occasion. I care not to try and calculate that. That's the honesty of our profession. It happens. Is his language, could it be considered over the top? Yes, it's considered over the top, I would say. I think it's a given. By yourself, you have a guy who's refusing to get out of your patrol car. I don't know why an initial charge wasn't charged. Maybe, Mike, you can answer that. Why didn't they charge him if he assaulted the security guard? Why didn't they charge him with assault of the security guard or with the criminal trespass? When they say they were transporting to another location to get help, what did that mean? Because now you got a guy in your car that's refusing to get out in what is somewhere between criminal and a civil matter.
Mr. Sherbin, Director, I think I was a little bit more specific in my overview. I apologize for not touching on that. From what I understand, PSB wrote in their investigation that the original security officers did not want to prosecute, press charges, that type of thing, for any type of an assault or trespass. They just wanted him gone. So they trespassed him there at the scene. So basically, he had no crime to book him on or to write a citation on at that point. So Officer Smith agreed with Mardell to transport him to a facility. Now, Mardell wanted to go to a facility that was just inside Avondale, I believe. And Officer Smith decided, well, I'm not going to go into Avondale, but I'll drop you at the city limits at 99th and McDowell, 99th Avenue. So that's how they ended up there. And at that point, he wasn't under arrest. He was just being detained to go to that facility to receive help. And I don't know if it's a facility for some sort of rehab, that type of thing. And at that point, I don't think he had any charges outstanding against him until what you saw happened.
All right. So my next question is, because we come into the video a little bit later, it seems odd to me that this officer would begin the conversation with expletives about getting out of the car while he's putting his gloves on. There was something that transpired before that that aggravated the situation, it would appear, that the officer would have an idea that this guy was not going to get out of his car as he needed him to? Or was he just clairvoyant and saw it coming, or what was it?
Director, the video is quite lengthy, and that's one of our challenges as staff to decide how much to show in the interest of time. The backdrop to what you saw, what happened before that, was there was an exchange back and forth, and Officer Smith was using a lot of that same type of language with Mardell. Mardell kept talking about how he didn't do anything wrong. At times it sounded like he was still thinking he was still with the security officers at the hospital. He was disoriented. It became something to where, and I don't want to editorialize, but it seemed like Officer Orr Smith was getting a little frustrated with him. And I think that's what you saw when the video portion that we showed today, when it picked up, that was just a continuation of that back and forth, that kind of language.
Okay, so what's the complaint from the county attorney's office? What was found to be unreasonable? Which strikes or which event? What are we hearing this for? What was unreasonable about the video that I watched?
Best I can tell is that Officer Smith delivered some strikes when he was in or out of cuffs that they felt was not proportional, both on the criminal side of the MCAO, county attorney side, as well as internally. PSB, I don't think PSB actually had this as a full-blown case internally. I believe it was his supervisor's immediate supervisor that handled the actual investigation of this. And it appeared to me that his chain of command concurred that there was excessive force used, and it was not proportional. And as far as the details go, that's all I have is based on the reports that I've received.
Substantiated or unsubstantiated, the suspect attacks the officer?
From what I reached out and asked about that. Originally, I didn't have that information, and he was booked. They did have the probable cause. I don't know where it is right now in the court system, but he was booked originally. Mardell was booked or aggravated assault on a police officer, and probably some other charges as well.
And in that video at the back of the car, that's what I'm trying to discern. It appears as though he attacks the officer. Is that what transpired? Is that where the charges stem?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have made that clear. That's exactly what I'm talking about, that incident, that part of it.
Okay, so substantiated then, he does attack the officer.
Yes, it looked like he was, it's hard to tell on the video. I don't know exactly what he was doing. It looks like he was attacking him somehow, assaulting him in some way. The officer was just defending himself at that point.
Okay, so then when he gets on the ground, he grabs what I saw is it looks like he grabbed the back of the officer's heel and his leg. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then the officer's striking him to get him off of his heel and his leg.
Yes, he's striking him then. He ends up getting him cuffed again. And then you can see the officer eventually reaching down to hold his hand still because he's kind of squirming. So he's got his right hand. The officer's got his right hand on on Mardell's head to keep him still. And then his left hand on his hands, on Mardell's hands. And then Mardell grabs his fingers and starts squeezing and pinching. That's what precipitates the other strikes when he's cuffed.
Okay, so when he hits him when he's handcuffed, and the strikes appear to be to the lats and the back of the triceps, at least from what I saw, which I think, I could be mistaken, if we have a use of force person in here, maybe could speak to that, but as my understanding, that's justifiable to hit to the back of the triceps or the lats, large muscle groups, for strikes, whether it be with a baton or a hand. He's trying to get him to release his fingers because the guy's gripping his fingers and won't release them. Is that correct also?
That's the way I read the report, yes, sir.
And that's what appears in the video? I mean, that's what I saw in the video.
Yes.
Okay, so if the county attorney felt that this was so egregious and so severe that this officer used excessive force, did they charge the officer with something?
The officer was booked.
What's that?
Maybe I didn't make it clear, but after the video, it was July 23rd. Officer Smith, or Smith, was interviewed by SID detectives, the criminal side, and he's asked to talk to them about the criminal investigation possibly of excessive force slash ag assault on a prisoner because they were restrained. And Officer Smith declined to be interviewed, which is his right, and he was subsequently booked into jail on 3 counts of aggravated assault.
Okay, I misunderstood. So the other guy wasn't charged with aggravated assault, the officer was?
No, you're right, they both were. Mardell was charged with aggravated assault on a police officer from the incident at the back of the Tahoe. And then later, after the county attorney reviewed this, and then there was an interview with Officer Smith where he declined, that day Officer Smith was booked into jail on ag assault based on strikes delivered to a restrained prisoner, I assume. I can't figure out any other elements to that.
So they both are facing charges now for aggravated assault?
Yes, I last checked probably a couple weeks ago, and it's still in the court system on both of them, so I don't know where it is right now. As of right now, I'm not sure if that's accurate, but I believe it is.
Okay.
Any further questions?
I do have a question. So we do not have the charging instrument against Mardell, but you're referencing in paragraph 6 the direct complaint against the officer.
Are you asking me if I have the charging document?
Or? Yes, sir. Do you have the charging document against Mardell?
No, I don't have the charging document. I just have the information supplied to me by Phoenix PD that he was charged.
By the county attorney's office, or they booked him on charges?
Both. I'm assuming that Phoenix PD, well, I'm not assuming. I was told that Phoenix PD booked him, and that if it was an aggravated assault, which makes it a felony, county attorney would be the prosecuting authority in that case.
And
I did look for that, and I couldn't find the case on that, on the public records.
Do we have actually, though, the charging document? Have we reviewed the charging document?
For Mardell?
Right.
No.
Mr. Chair, if I could clarify, I think what Mr. Johnson is asking you, Mike, did you confirm the charging document for the officer? Because in paragraph 26, you talk about that the Maricopa County Attorney's Office issued a direct complaint charging the officer with 2 counts of aggravated assault. I'm assuming you got that off of some public access records through the court system. Is that correct?
I believe I got that from Phoenix PD when I reached out to find out what happened. It could have been from a public records, but either way, I don't have the charging documents on either one of them, is what I'm saying. I don't have the original Form 4 or the booking information. I rarely receive that information. I get that from the actual agency that sends me the report. So I'm basically regurgitating what I've already been told. I don't remember, to be honest with you, had a few cases lately, whether or not specifically Phoenix PD told me that, or I reached out and looked at the public records online to see where that was for Orr Smith. I'd have to go back to my file. I don't have it in front of me right now. Either way, I either received that information from Phoenix PD or saw it directly with my eyes. But even if it was the public records, not to belabor the point, if it was a public records online, I'm not going to see those charging, original charging documents. I'm just going to see a printout of what the case, where the case is, the status of this position.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Mr. Durant, go ahead.
I confirmed the charges were filed via the Maricopa County Attorney's Office Law Enforcement Liaison. So I communicated directly with the County Attorney's Office. They informed me when and what charges were filed. I did not obtain a copy of the indictment, but I certainly can, if necessary, to assist Mr. Dalton, I can certainly do that.
Director.
So the County Attorney's Office charged aggravated assault against each other?
I can't confirm whether they actually, if I may, not to belabor the point. The charges against Mardell were submitted, and when the County Attorney's Office was reviewing the case, they reviewed the body camera as part of the charging process. They saw that video, became concerned about it, referred it back to Phoenix Police. I don't know if they actually charged Mardell, or if they waited to see what the outcome of the investigation of the officer was. I don't know that. But I know that's how it came to light. It's confusing.
Maybe I'm the only one here that is a little bit confused by this case, but it's odd to me. So I don't think I've ever charged two people with aggravated assault against each other in the same event. One person was a victim. One person was the assailant, unless you had disorderly conduct by fighting, and then different story, unless one person went over the top in the fight while the person was down or something like that. But no, I can't say that. I'm just trying to understand this case. Mike, and my apologies to you. You did a good job presenting what is, in my mind, a pretty confusing case that I'm just trying to get my head around and understand. So,
Mr. Chairman, Colonel, if I could, my understanding is the aggravated assault committed upon the officer occurred at the back of the Tahoe. The aggravated assault committed by the officer occurred after the fact, after Mardell was taken into custody. So it wasn't a mutual combat. We charged both people. It was one incident was an aggravated assault on the officer. Afterwards, the officer, the allegations are the officer assaulted Mr. Mardell.
So the aggravated assault charge, that's what I'm trying to get to then. So the aggravated assault charges on the officer would have been initiated the only time then, if this is correct, if I'm understanding you, and that's what I'm trying to narrow it down to, is when he punches a handcuffed prisoner. That's where the statute would read.
That's
where the statute comes into effect, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And this is when he was holding his fingers, didn't let go, and then the officer punched him.
That's my understanding, correct.
And that's where the aggravated assault occurred.
Somewhere in there, yes.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
Chairman, I'm your guidance attorney for purposes of this case, Mark Bradgill. And just a comment, if the board votes to send this case to an administrative judge, the judge will grapple with all of the questions that were asked today and will discern what are the facts that are deemed credible and are adopted by the judge and what state law was violated possibly by the respondent officer. The administrative judge applies state law and state standards. And so if board feels that there's sufficient information in this charging overview and based on each of your training and experiences, you want to send this to the judge to discern that information and come back to you with findings, then the board would vote to send this case to the judge.
Thank you, Mr. Rector. Further comments, questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Chairman, Chief Foskis, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Orth Smith's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signal by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next case, 2020-206. Ms. Heckel, back to you.
And I'll recuse myself from this case.
Let the record note, the director is recused. Heckel, back to you.
Chairman, members of the board, Arlene Heckel again, one of your compliance specialists. Trooper Goddard worked at the Arizona Department of Public Safety from January 27, 2020 to December 10, 2020. On September 12, 2020, Trooper Goddard started his first day of his second phase of field training, and his training officer was Trooper Slim. They responded to a serious injury accident where one of the drivers was being transported to the hospital by helicopter. It was determined that driver was the one who caused the accident. While the two of them were discussing the investigation, Trooper Goddard said he didn't feel that he should issue the injured driver a citation because they'd already suffered enough with the injury and financial loss. Trooper Clem advised the reasons they did need to cite that driver, and they went on with their investigation. On September 23rd, 2020, Trooper Goddard completed the report and sent it to the sergeant for review. Trooper Clem did not have access to the report in the report system at that time, and he did not see it before it went to the supervisor. On October 9th, 2020, Sergeant Thomason rejected the report because the narrative of the accident stated a citation was issued. However, there was no citation information in the report. Trooper Clem asked Trooper Goddard if he had issued the citation to the driver. Trooper Goddard said yes, and he had printed it out and addressed an envelope and mailed it to the driver. Trooper Clem contacted the department's track system help desk, which is their document system, to see if he could find any information on that citation that was issued. They were unsuccessful in locating any documentation of the citation. Trooper Clem talked to Trooper Goddard again and advised if he hadn't written it, they would just go and write it now and mail it to the driver. Trooper Goddard advised again he had already written it, put it in an envelope, and put it on a different sergeant's desk for that person to mail it out. Trooper Clem talked to Sergeant Thomason about a possible integrity issue with the version of that Trooper Goddard was giving him. Sergeant Thomason called the other sergeant and learned that there was no envelope and no citation left on his desk. Sergeant Thomason asked Trooper Goddard about the citation, and Trooper Goddard told him the same thing he had told Trooper Clem. When Sergeant Thomason confronted Trooper Goddard that the envelope was not placed on the other sergeant's desk, Trooper Goddard admitted that he did not write it. He admitted to Sergeant Thomason he was dishonest due to him not wanting to disappoint the sergeant or his FTO. An internal investigation was initiated, and Trooper Goddard explained he was not trying to be dishonest, and he really thought he had mailed the citation. However, during that time, it became obvious he had not done that, and he did give inaccurate information to both Trooper Clem and Sergeant Thomason. DPS sustained allegations of dishonesty, and Trooper Goddard resigned on December 10, 2020. Based on facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Jerry Williams, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Goddard's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Next question, case 2021-145. Ms. Darcy, Ms. Nichols, excuse me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm Darcy Nichols, one of your compliance specialists. The first case involves former Gila County Sheriff's Deputy Eliana Cabrera. On February 8, 2021, a vehicle was observed exceeding the posted speed limit on westbound I-10 and failing to remain in its lane of travel. A DPF trooper paced the vehicle, determined it was traveling between 96 and 106 miles per hour. A traffic stop was initiated and the driver was identified as off-duty Gila County Sheriff's Deputy Eliana Cabrera. Deputy Cabrera told troopers she was giving her adult passengers a ride home from a club. During her contact with DPS troopers, Deputy Cabrera exhibited signs and symptoms of alcohol consumption and gave conflicting statements about when she last consumed alcoholic beverages. Deputy Cabrera was subsequently arrested for DUI-related crimes. Intoxicizer readings of 0.154 and 1.166 were obtained. Deputy Cabrera was cooperative throughout the investigation and stated she didn't feel the effects of alcohol consumption while driving. Deputy Cabrera was released with a citation containing DUI charges. She was not charged with speeding. The Gila County Sheriff's Office conducted an administrative investigation and sustained policy violations related to speeding, unsafe driving behaviors, DUI, and off-duty conduct standards. Deputy Cabrera was terminated on August 10, 2021. On October 12, 2021, Deputy Cabrera was found guilty in the Country Meadows Justice Court of two DUI charges, including impairment to the slightest degree and BAC over 0.08. The charge of extreme DUI was dismissed. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate the proceeding. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Ms. Cabrera's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-200. Ms. Nichols, back to you.
Thank you. The case involves former Maricopa County Community College District Department of Public Safety Officer Michael Langley. On March 31, 2021, Officer Michael Langley was involved in a domestic violence incident with his family while off duty at his residence. During the incident, Officer Langley yelled profanities at his family members and wrestled with his 19-year-old stepson. No injuries resulted from the altercation, however, a wall was damaged. Officer Langley was intoxicated at the time of the incident and was escorted from his home by his two daughters and locked out. The Gilbert Police Department was called while Officer Langley pounded on the garage door. Responding Gilbert Police Department officers were unable to locate Officer Langley when they arrived and attempted unsuccessfully to contact him by telephone. On April 1st, 2021, Officer Langley agreed to turn himself into the Gilbert Police Department. He had an odor of intoxicating beverage emanating from his breath when he was arrested for the previous night's incident. On April 8, 2021, Officer Langley entered into a deferred prosecution agreement with the Gilbert City Attorney's Office and Municipal Court. Officer Langley pled guilty to one count of domestic violence disorderly conduct, and the charge of domestic violence threatening and intimidating was dismissed. The deferment agreement stipulated that if Officer Langley successfully completed the terms of the agreement, the disorderly conduct charge would be dismissed on October 8, 2022. Conditions of Officer Langley's release allowed for possession of or control of firearms, ammunition, or other deadly weapons only while on duty as a peace officer. Officer Langley resigned in lieu of termination from the Maricopa County Community College District Department of Public Safety effective October 29, 2021. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Langley's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Chief Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-097. Ms. Nichols, back to you.
Thank you. This case involves former Tolleson Police Department officers Michael Sean Manos. Officer Manos engaged in mutual texting with Tolleson Police Dispatcher Copete after over a period of several months. The messages were flirtatious and appeared to represent an attempt by Officer Manos to engage in a romantic relationship with Police Dispatcher Copete. Dispatcher Copete indicated she was not interested in a romantic relationship but participated in the ongoing texting and did not ask Officer Manos to stop. During a group conversation at the Tolleson Police Department, Officer Manos reached towards Dispatcher Topete and made a comment she believed referred to her weight. Perceiving the comment to be an insult, Dispatcher Topete complained about Officer Manos' conduct, and an administrative investigation commenced, revealing the texting that had occurred. During the administrative investigation, Officer Manos admitted that he was being flirtatious and that some of the texts were sexual in nature and therefore inappropriate. He also said there were additional calls and texts that weren't turned over as part of the initial complaint. During the administrative investigation, dispatcher Topete stated that both the attempts at the romantic relationship and the comment made by Officer Manos were unlawful. Tolleson employees interviewed during the administrative investigation indicated Officer Manos is known to, quote, make inappropriate comments while on duty, unquote. They also indicated Officer Manos and dispatcher Topete had an outwardly joking, teasing relationship. Officer Manos retired from the Tolleson Police Department after an allegation of the department's discriminatory harassment and standards of conduct policy were sustained. I afforded Officer Manos with several opportunities to provide me with the cell phone records to support his statements that additional texting and calls existed and were initiated by dispatcher Topete. However, he was unable to do so. Dispatcher Topete, who denied there were additional texts and calls, was also unable to obtain her cell phone records. During a conversation I had with dispatcher Topete, she told me she thought Officer Manos understood her texts were written in a joking manner and that she was uncomfortable with him pursuing a romantic relationship. She said also that she, quote, should have been more forceful, unquote, in her communication with Officer Manos. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board take no action. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Jerry Williams. I move to close this case with no action.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Chief Oskar, second.
Thank you, Chief. Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-169. Ms. Nichols, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Avondale Police Officer Kelsey Morris. On September 5th, 2020, Officer Morris met with Avondale Sergeant Dodge to request reassignment from her current light duty assignment in dispatch. During this conversation, Officer Morris told Sergeant Dodge she intentionally recorded the other dispatchers by leaving her personal cell phone in recording mode at her dispatch workstation when she left the room. A search warrant was obtained to seize Officer Morris' cell phone and to forensically search for any audio recordings of fellow employees. During the service of the search warrant, Officer Morris made spontaneous statements after being read Miranda rights, indicating that she did not know what she had done was illegal and that she had deleted the recording. The Glendale Police Department was asked to take over the criminal investigation. Two audio recordings made in the Avondale Police Department Dispatch Center on August 21st and 28th were located on Officer Morris' cell phone. Investigators determined none of the six dispatchers present in the dispatch center at the time of the recordings were aware of or consenting to being recorded. Investigators determined Morris was not present in the dispatch center when the recordings were made. The dispatch center is located on city property and inside a Glendale Police Department building, an area that is not considered personal or private per Avondale city policy. Officer Morris told investigators she thought other dispatchers were talking about her, so she recorded them while she wasn't present in the room. In departmental correspondence, her immediate supervisor indicated that he was preparing to meet with Morris to discuss performance issues that had been brought to his attention by fellow dispatchers. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office declined to prosecute Officer Morris, citing the reason that none of the victims desired prosecution. As a result of the Avondale Police Department administrative investigation, conduct policy violations specific to recording were sustained. Officer Morris resigned in lieu of termination effective August 16, 2021. In the course of gathering information for this process, I learned of a similar 2017 internal investigation alleging Officer Morris recorded a one-on-one conversation with her sergeant without her knowledge or permission. The Avondale Police Department sustained conduct policy violations specific to recording as a result of that investigation. Officer Morris was provided with counseling and training on the rules of conduct policy at that time. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends no action, agency discretion.
Any comments, questions?
Yeah, I'm on a roll, I guess, today. I've got one. So, to refer with back to the agency, the only reason she didn't get prosecuted for Class 5 felony is because the other officers or the other employees didn't desire prosecution, right?
That is one of the reasons. See, I did include in here that there is an Avondale City policy that says that any of the property, any of the city buildings, any of that property does not afford privacy. So having that be the case, there was no expectation of privacy for the recordings to be happening within that building.
Okay, does the city have a policy about recording people without them having knowledge of it, the department?
The city has a policy that you can't record other employees, correct?
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? If not, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to close this case with no action with agency discretion.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion? Do you have a question? Hold on.
Yeah.
Question?
Can I make a motion that it does go to a hearing?
We're on a current motion. You have to kill this one first.
That would be correct, Mr. Chairman. There's a motion on the floor right now.
Yeah. So.
Unless I find it to be a pretty serious violation.
You could request that the requester or the conveyor communicator of the motion withdraw it, and for further discussion, that would as an absence.
Or discuss your dissatisfaction with the motion and let the members.
Well, my concern,
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I can remove my motion to make it easier for the discussion to continue.
Thank you,
sir.
Director, are
no
you?
No objection.
No objection. So, back to discussion.
I have a concern. It's a class 5 felony in any other part of the state, whether the city of Avondale chooses to do that there. Every agency that I've been affiliated with, that's a very serious offense. It's an offense that you'll be terminated for in multiple agencies. I think, and then you're saying she's already been counseled about this before.
Correct.
Right?
2017.
And did it again.
Correct.
So for us to not take action and move this further to decertify her, now I feel almost complicit in her behavior to say, it's okay, go ahead and do it again. There's a reason these laws are on the books, you know? And that's a concern to me. And so I guess that's the discussion I would want to have with the board.
Any further comments on that? Otherwise, I'd ask.
This is Lisa. I'd like some clarification from legal counsel with regard to the class 5 felony in this case.
Thank you, Lisa.
Because
Ms. Weiss, this is Mark Brackel.
Thank you.
A little back story. I did a deep dive and looked at the statute of unlawful recording, and I pulled the court cases on it, and one of the necessary elements for this to be a crime under state law is that it had to have been recorded in a forum where there was a reasonable expectation of privacy. So there has to be an element for this to be a crime is that the individuals had to have a reasonable expectation of privacy. This was then staffed with post-staff, and we looked at the location of the recording, which is the police communications dispatch room, and where the dispatchers sit, and there's 911 calls, and there's terminals. And the ideal was, after acquiring Avondale's policy, I think there's a general recognition that there is not a reasonable expectation of privacy in a police building in that kind of an area, a police dispatch room. Therefore, the criminal element, is lacking, and therefore it wouldn't be a criminal offense. To your point, though, Colonel, there is another way to view this case, which is that you have an officer who was recording in violation of city policy and did it more than once. And to that question, does that rise to malfeasance under post standards? That could be turned over to a judge.
Well, I guess my question would be, if Mr. Johnson and I go stand in the corner of the room over here to have a private conversation in this room before the hearings start, before we start to do a session, and we're having a private conversation over there in the corner, and somebody puts a phone in the chair and we don't see it and it's recording, Are we to be under the impression that that's not a private conversation because it's in a large room that's used for a public forum, but we're having a private conversation over here, maybe behind a cubicle or in a corner of the room? Could that argument not be made?
An argument could be made, but for the specific facts in this case, Colonel, the perspective is that there is an element of that criminal offense that is missing.
Yeah, she stated in here what her culpable mental state was. It was intentionally, it was knowingly that she did it, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, you have two strong elements of a culpable mental state in commission of a felony. But she'd been counseled before and nothing had happened. I just think for the board to not take action in this case, my concern would be, I would say to the board, to not take action in this case, it sends a message. I think anybody here who is leading a law enforcement agency or has been in law enforcement administration or in the legal field, we have those laws on the books for a reason in this state. At least one person needs to know that recording is taking place, and those are pretty liberal compared to some states. So I would just say in this case, I'm concerned that this person's got a behavior pattern. If this was the first time it happened, I could say, okay, deal with it how you want to deal with it. But this is the second time it happened. Second time they've committed what by state law is a felony. And it's been dealt with in a passive manner, a coaching or supervisory counseling, if I'm not mistaken, which is concerning to me.
Chester, would you like to make a motion?
I would. I'd like to make a motion that we send this case to, let me get the right verbiage here. Hold on one second. Sheriff. Thank you. Not that one.
I do know.
Okay. I want to move to initiate proceedings against Kelsey Morris. Case number 2021-169.
Thank you, Director. Do I have a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-230. Take us back to you for the final case of the day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The case involves former Mesa Police Department applicant Zachary Sherrato. Zachary Sherrato submitted an application for employment as a police officer with the Mesa Police Department and was appointed on November 22, 2021. On November 26, 2021, while completing applicant Sherrato's new hire audit, a notice to his criminal history and local records check had been completed more than six months prior. A requested current criminal history from the Mesa Police Department. On December 9, 2021, I was informed by the Mesa Police Department hiring unit that a current criminal history query revealed the applicant was arrested on October 30, 2021 for assault, trespass, and disorderly conduct. Mesa PD hiring personnel contacted applicant Sherrato and informed him his appointment was being rescinded as a result of violating the agreement he signed on May 27, 2021. To inform Mesa hiring personnel of any updates to his background information while in the hiring process. Applicant Sherrato told Mesa Police Department personnel he planned to inform them of the arrest but was attempting to have the criminal charges dismissed first. His case is still pending in the Tempe Municipal Court. Notices were mailed to applicant Sherrato's address of record informing him of a possible upcoming rule change that could affect the way cases involving denial of certification are handled by the AB Post Board. The notices provided information on how applicant Sherrato could request a delay in his case until the possible rule change occurred. However, neither he nor anyone representing him requested such a delay. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, thoughts? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Jerry Williams, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification for Mr. Sherrato.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly.
Thank you both. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Next case, 2021-005. Mr. Bradshaw will be handling this case, but we're requested to go into executive session on that one.
Motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Mark Brackel, there is a brief introduction that the compliance specialist will make in open meeting, and that at a certain point there will be a request to go into executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Brackel. Appreciate that. Mr. Bradshaw, to you.
I'll recuse myself in this case, too.
For the record, well, the colonel has recused himself. Be noted. And Mr. Johnson, too. Thank you to both. Mr. Bradshaw, now back to you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Rich Bradshaw, one-year compliance specialist. On June 12, 2020, former DPS Sergeant Peterson was discovered parked on the road shoulder of a state highway sleeping in his patrol vehicle. Following the discovery, Sergeant Peterson's supervisor, Captain Sharp, pointed out several instances where automatic vehicle location data indicated Sergeant Peterson had his patrol vehicle parked for extended periods of time, and asked Sergeant Peterson if he had been sleeping on duty on any other occasion, an act Sergeant Peterson denied. On October 22, 2020, Sergeant Peterson was served with a notice of investigation, and according to the DPS report, Sergeant Peterson repeatedly provided confusing or incomplete answers, but he eventually acknowledged having fallen asleep on June 12, 2020, during the interview, Sergeant Peterson reported having a medical condition. At this time, I would request that the board go into executive session.
You need a motion for
yes.
that?
Yes.
Mr.
Motion.
Chair, I move that we go into executive session.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. All in favor, say aye.
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 Just a point of clarification for those of us on the phone, do we need to disconnect and then reconnect?
We will disengage the folks who should not be part of that, Lisa. You can just stay where you're at.
Thank you.
We'll take a two-minute session. And Mr. Bradshaw, your final thoughts on this case for recommendation?
For chairman and members of the board, based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings.
Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Any thoughts or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Peterson's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor.
Chief, I'll second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Appreciate that. Future agenda is Director.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I have is, as you notice, you've got about 4 to 5 denial cases today. As you know, with the rule change, we gave everyone that came before us an opportunity to just prolong their case based on the rule change. You're going to start seeing those now coming in the next several months. We'll start giving you a handful of those cases every month to take a look at, just FYI.
Thank
but
you.
Other than that, again, I always stand ready to, if there's a topic you'd like us to look into for next meeting, we're happy to do that.
Appreciate it, Director, staff. Appreciate all you do. Board members, final thoughts. Chief.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to my RTO, my recruit training officer, Mr. Redmond back there. So that just tells you how long we've both been around. So if you're angry with me, it's his fault. Welcome.
Welcome aboard. You know.
Wow.
Any other final thoughts from members? Here we are now. Entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Thank you all. Be safe. We'll all see you next month. Yeah.